The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the dust settles on the trade agreement struck by the European Union with the United States on Sunday, did the EU really eke out some sort of a win from the Trump administration, or was it left with no choice but to bow to his tariff demands? Confusion still reigning over many parts of the agreement, although the White House did issue a document, a statement of fact. So to look at all of this, we are joined by John Clark, former Director for International Affairs at the European Commission. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I've been looking at this fact sheet from the White House, and it's win-win-win for the United States.
Well, indeed, one would expect the White House to publicize this agreement as a slam dunk for the USA. Frankly, it's a very disappointing deal for both sides. Call me naive. I always thought that trade agreements were there to liberalize trade, remove tariffs, and increase trade flows. This does the opposite. It reduces trade. It makes business more expensive. It penalizes consumers. So there's not much to like about it.
Now, the White House, though, is spinning it that this is going to create great commercial opportunities for American producers. They want the European Union to work to address non-tariff barriers affecting trade in food and agricultural products and streamline requirements for sanitary certificates for U.S. pork and dairy products. We don't like the sound of that because we know our standards are higher than theirs.
Yeah, I think this is spin on the part of the White House. This is one of the areas where we don't have details. It's very murky. The dust has not settled yet. I'm absolutely convinced that the EU will not agree to get into any kind of negotiation with the US on food safety standards or quality standards. That's a no-go area. So I think the US is whistling in the dark on that one.
So, John, the question is, could Europe have done better if it adopted a different negotiating stance?
Yes, of course it could. Europe should have been tough like Canada was, like China was, already back in April, and actually imposed the first wave of retaliatory measures. It didn't do that. It blinked. And Trump, I think, saw very quickly the EU's weakness, not aided, of course, by the fact that the member states of the EU were quite divided about whether to be tough with the USA or follow a track of appeasement. They chose the latter in the end, and the Commission had its hands tied.
So when we look at how the Canadians behaved, the Mexicans behaved, and China is behaving, there are currently talks underway. I mean, are they winning against Trump?
Well, I think in the long term, yes, they will. As far as I can see, the only language that Trump understands is brute power and to push back very, very hard. The EU used to do that in the past. It doesn't anymore. And I think it's lost a lot of its international credibility over this deal. It's being seen as kowtowing to WTO illegal bullying tactics. And I think this is a dark day for the EU and the common commercial policy, which has been the jewel in the crown of the EU for the last 50 years.
Now, when you look at the deals already done, I mean, the UK inked a deal, but again, very light on detail. Japan inked a deal. Trump is trying to do a deal with India at the moment with the threat of 25% tariffs. Yeah. And we don't know where we are. I mean, China seems to have the whip hand. At the moment, American consumers don't seem to be suffering too much. But the level of container traffic going into the United States from China is way down. There will be scarcities, and scarcity means higher prices.
All of the above, absolutely. But what we need to recognize is that China has a much higher pain threshold than Europe has, and is willing to take some economic pain. But most of that pain will be faced by American consumers if prices go up, and it will fuel inflation in the USA. So the USA will lose more than China does in the event of the maintenance of high tariffs on Chinese exports.
What do you make of the contention that because the dollar has lost 10% of its value, and that for Americans at the moment, it will you know, it'd be a zero sum in terms of domestic consumption, but stuff coming in, which will be tariffed and go up anyway, it'll make it even less affordable given the value of the dollar.
Oh, absolutely. That's this is economics 101. Products will be more expensive for American consumers to buy, whether it's cars or pharmaceuticals or machinery or consumer electronics or clothes.
What is left, though, in this deal? It was clarified yesterday that pharma will have that 15% tariff, but we still have high tariffs on aluminium, on steel, on copper. What's going to happen in those sectors?
Complete uncertainty. There are very mixed messages coming out from the USA and from Brussels and elsewhere. The EU has expressed, I think, the intention or the hope to negotiate some duty-free quotas on steel and aluminium, ditto for cars, where there's complete confusion, and a number of other products. Pharmaceuticals, as you mentioned, will face the 15% tariff as of next week. That's not very good news for Ireland's pharma industry. There will be some exclusions from that, but we don't know what they are.
It would probably be those products which America desperately needs and cannot produce in short order itself. They may be the exclusion. But I'm just wondering, from your point of view, looking at what America's doing, I mean, first of all, they are tariffing stuff that they actually need in their economy. It's not that America can produce everything that they're tariffing. Mm-hmm. It simply cannot, certainly not in the duration of Trump's remaining 3.5 years. Yep. And meantime, they're exporting many of the workers. The target is 1 million undocumented migrants this year, the people who do the kind of work that Americans don't want to do. So what's happening there?
What's happening? Foolish, short-term, misguided trade and economic policy driven by two things. One, a desire to collect more revenue at the border to pay for tax cuts for the corporate sector. And secondly, a futile attempt to prevent the emergence of China as a superpower equal to the USA. Those are the two things driving, I think, Trump's trade policy.
But the impact of all of this is that the American economy is bound to falter with these policies.
Absolutely. And it will suffer. The question is to what extent. What I don't think we will see is any large-scale relocation of manufacturing back into the American Rust Belt states. The investment climate will deteriorate rather than improve, and that will be a big discouragement for companies to relocate back in the USA. That's not going to happen, I don't think.
Now, the warning about doing special deals for the US, allowing them tariff-free access for all their goods and services and so on into Europe, what will other trading partners with Europe have to say about that most favoured status being given to the US?
Well, I think we need to see the details of the deal. It's not clear as of now whether the tariff concessions that the EU is giving the US on machinery, on lobsters, on a number of agricultural products, not clear whether that will be for the US only or extended to all other countries, as it should be under WTO rules. If the EU follows the example of the UK and gives the USA unilateral preferences, you know, then the EU is in breach of its international legal obligations, and the rest of the world will be very, very dismayed and sceptical about that. And it really, as I said at the beginning of this talk, that really undermines the European Union's international credibility. It pretends to be the champion of the multilateral system. That claim will look very hollow if the EU itself not only condones American breach of international law, but does it themselves.
Finally, John, in terms of the market size, 450 million consumers in the EU, 300 million consumers in the United States. But of course, the economic might of the United States is quite clear. What weapons does Europe have that it could have deployed against Trump?
Well, it could have deployed its full armory of retaliatory instruments way back in March or April. The anti-coercion instrument. It could have put tariffs on U.S. exports. It could have restricted certain U.S. services, intellectual property, shut the U.S. out of procurement, it took the road of peace and appeasement and didn't do that, and that was a big strategic mistake in my view. But there we are.
And we know with Trump, his motto is "Eaten bread, soon forgotten." I'll take that, and then it's a given, and he gives nothing in return. John Clark, yes. Former Director of International Affairs at the European Commission. John, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.